David, I'd like you to come sing that song, When the Church is Gone. Preach on tonight. What you gonna do when the church is gone? And I was thinking about anyone that hasn't fully dedicated their life to God, some of the young people, different ones. This is a question you need to be able to answer. unless you dedicate your life to the Lord, it's what you're going to be facing. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. Verse 21, and I gave her a space to repent for her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. One more scripture, Revelation chapter 12. Verse 15. The serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Brother Branham, many of you know, he preached the seals, that when the sixth seal was opened, he said that was a tribulation. What was lay under that sixth seal, what was said there, that was, he said, the tribulation period. But the bride doesn't go through tribulation. She'll already be gone. She's gone. Brother Branham says, and God is not dealing with the church no more. It's been gone. God's not dealing with the church no more. It's been gone. The church, the bride, will be caught up. And I was reading today, Brother Branham was talking about it being a universal rapture. There'd be two in the bed, one be taken, one be left, two in the field, one be taken, one be left. And he says universal rapture, where the sun's down on one side of the earth, it's up on the other side of the earth. And we've got brothers that are on the other side of the earth from us, many I've met, and I look forward to seeing them again, if not on this side, then in the rapture. And then God's not dealing, he says, with the church no more. It's been gone. He's dealing with Israel now. That's when the two prophets, Elijah and Moses, appear over in Jerusalem, and they begin they shut up the heavens, and they have plagues to come on, and then eventually they're killed. And after they're killed, they're left laying in the street. They don't do anything about it, just let their bodies lay there in the streets, and then they give gifts to one another to celebrate that they killed those two prophets. But then is when Christ will come down and reveal himself to the Jews. But only that 144,000 are the ones he's going to reveal himself to. They're the only ones that's going to see him. Gentiles won't see him no more. He's done. He'll be done dealing with the Gentiles. And Brother Branham said that just like it was in the days of John the Baptist, when they said that the scripture didn't say Elias was first to come, and Jesus said, I tell you, he has come, and you missed it. He has come already, Jesus said, and you missed it. And Brother Branham says, one of these days that tribulation will set in, and people will say, I thought there was supposed to be a rapture first. And he said, and it'll be, and it's already passed, and you knew nothing about it, it come like a thief in the night. I tell you, it's time for believers to trim their lamps, get on their toes. The calling time is at hand. We should remember that. Now, we know in the scriptures in Matthew, it talks about five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. Brother Branham said that those five foolish virgins, and he called them also sleeping virgins, he said they're the remnant. That's the remnant. He said that the dragon makes war upon. And the remnant goes through the tribulation period. But I got to thinking, why would they have to go through the tribulation period? Brother Ram said it's for their purification. He said it's because they rejected the message, he said, and they rejected Christ as their purification. Now, you think, well, how could they reject Christ as their purification if that's what they're professing to believe and looking to? Because Christ is the Word. Amen. To not come under that Word is to reject the purification of Christ. He said, the elect goes up, the remnant be left here to go through the tribulation period. And at the end time, when they see what has happened, they'll go down in martyrdom. So the foolish virgins, they'll die during the tribulation period. The foolish virgins are Gentiles. They're ones, they were virgins, but they didn't have any oil. As the Bible says, they had no oil in their lamps when the call went out. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And said the virgins rose up to trim their lamps. Anybody know what, you young people know what trim your lamps means? They trim down the wick so that the flame will burn higher. When the wick gets all sooty, the flame goes down. But you trim the wick and the flame goes back up and it gets brighter. And so it's time. Brother Bram said, it's time we better be trimming our wicks. Amen. Getting all that soot off, getting all the things, Brother Bram said, of the world off of us. That's trimming your lamp. Trimming off everything that is not Christ. Everything that is a hindrance to your Christian walk. The sins that beset you, as Paul calls them. The sins that beset you. See, he said she had to be purged for her sins of unbelief and rejecting the message. That's in the seventh seal where he says that. He said, in questions and answers, the Gentile brides in heaven, the sleeping virgin, the Gentile virgin, is not to be saved during that time. She's already been saved. She's already been saved, but has been rejected in the bride. She goes through the tribulation period for the time of purification because she rejected Christ, the Word, for her purification. Then she has to suffer for her deeds, but the bride who has become the Word, a complete atonement was made of Christ because he is the Word. The body was rend, and when the body was rended, the bride was in that body because it's all the Word. Amen. He says here, just because you accept Christ as your personal Savior doesn't mean you're going in the rapture. So it takes more than just accepting him as your personal. There's a lot of people that have accepted him as their personal Savior. I preached to some people here back last month that they've accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But they can't move beyond the doctrines that has got them bound, that the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. And they can't seem to move beyond that. but they're saved. He said, just because you accept Christ as a personal Savior doesn't mean you're going in the rapture. That's for the elect. They'll go in the rapture. There'll be a remnant left here on earth that'll go through the persecution and the great tribulation, that the church will be caught up in the rapture. He goes back here in this message, we would see Jesus, and he's talking about there in the scriptures of Matthew about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And then after that, Jesus gives another parable. And he says the kingdom of heaven is like a man that goeth on a trip. And then he goes on to give this other parable that falls right in line with what the parable that he's given about these five wise and five foolish virgins. And at the end of that, he says that they'll be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. It says that in the scripture there. And Brother Branham said that is that great tribulation period. That's what that is. It isn't hell. It's that great tribulation period where they're cast into. And he said, now remember, he said the great tribulation it's going to throw in here is those people that are the sleeping virgins that didn't have oil in their lamps. Yet, good people went to church, everything. But they come for oil, but too late then. See, throw her into great tribulation and she'll go in that. The Catholic Church goes in. All her children goes in with her in the great tribulation. Now, there was one other thing I read that really struck me. As he said here in Revelation chapter 4, he says, now these tribulation period saints that come up had went through great tribulations. The church will not go through tribulation. Do you see they're already in glory? And here's the tribulation saints, the sanctified ones, that had been it's mine and your fault, they never heard the word. So there's going to be some that it'd be, he said, mine and your fault that they never got to hear this end time word. And he said, if they heard it and reject it, then they go to hell. They was cast into outer darkness because they rejected the word. But if they never heard it, God is just, the tribulation period comes for them. Now notice, the saints washed by the same word, because it's the same altar, it's the same sea of glass. And now notice a minute, he said, Revelations 2 and 5, Revelation 15 rather, he says 2 and 5. Notice just a minute, now we've never took the word to, now we've never took the word to the same, to them. We never took the word to them. That's the reason they were like that. We never took the word to them. We're going to be held responsible. You remember Brother Branham talking about there when he listened to his mother-in-law, didn't go down there to preach to those Pentecostal people. She called them trash and so on. And Brother Branham makes a statement about that later on. He said, I'll have to answer to God for all of them that would have heard and come in. You know, sometimes people, they live real good in church, but they'll have to answer for how they walk before people out there in the world. Ain't none of us, I'm not exempt from that. None of us is exempt. Now, I got to thinking about that song, what are you going to do when the church is gone? And I got to thinking about when I was a young boy, and it was because of some of the legalistic teachings I believe we were under at the time, that I remember when they started talking about the rapture and saints being caught up, I'd get scared. Amen. And If all of a sudden I couldn't find my mom, I got terrified. And I was always worried the rapture was going to come and I was going to be left behind. Because I never could be perfect enough. See, that's what they brought in that legalistic teaching. And I thought I'd never be able to measure up to that. And I was scared to death of being left behind. It followed me right on into my teen years. As I ended up going back to that same church after I graduated high school. And so it felt like every night, we had church on Sunday night. And it felt like every Sunday night you had to go up to the altar and get saved. This was a message church now. I'm not talking about no denominational church. This was a message church, so called. And it's like every Sunday night we were going up there to the altar, the whole church. If you didn't go up to the altar, something was wrong with you. That's just the way it was. Everybody went up to the altar. You know, whether you thought you needed to or not, you went up there. But I can remember going up there and repenting of everything I ever done that week. Well, I don't know what you think about it, but I got to looking back at it, and that ain't no different than a Catholic. Amen. And even then, I was still afraid because I knew I wasn't perfect. And I was afraid the rapture was going to go and I'd be lost. I'd be gone. It'd be gone and I'd be left. And that got me to thinking some more here while I studied on this thought. And I preached this message over in West Virginia when I was there, a version of this message anyway. I got anointed and left my notes and preached this instead. But it got me to thinking. And I wanted to say to everyone, you know, I wish we'd had the Sunday crowd here tonight. But hopefully they'll get this and hear this message, because if you identify with the things I've been saying, this fear, then if you have that fear, then you need to take a look. And if you have the Holy Ghost, if you've fully dedicated your life to God and filled with the Holy Ghost, then I tell you, you have nothing to fear. How many times have we heard it preached across this pulpit that you're not going to be perfect in this flesh? You're going to make mistakes. You'll fall flat on your face sometimes. But as the prophet said, he quoted that old song, said, "But get up, go again. Get up and go on." But if you haven't and you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you need to get it. Amen. Because without it, you're going to be left here when the church is gone. And I thought, when it's gone, there won't be no more preaching coming across this pulpit. You can come, people can come, and they can come down here at this church and knock on these doors and want to get in. There won't be nobody in here to unlock the doors and let them in. There won't be no more preaching coming across this pulpit. There won't be no more singing in the church. There won't be no more singing across this pulpit. No more special songs. There won't be no more altar calls. There won't be no more of the calls of saying, "Raise your hand if he's talking to you." And there won't be no more of that. And people will desire and they'll say, "Well, they got to get to church." And the only church doors that will still be open is those denominational churches. That's the church doors that will still be open. They're the ones that's going to be still here. Revelations 8:7, it says, "The first angel sounded, and there followed hell." H-A-I-L. And Brother Branham says this in the message. He said, "This naked, stripped off bunch of Laodiceans worshiping the God of this world through their ethics and education and shrewdness and prettiness, come out of her. The Bible said, be not a partaker of her sins and don't receive her plagues. God will rain hell out of the skies one day as big as 100 pounds apiece and will destroy her by stoning her like his word always said he done. I don't want to see that. Matter of fact, on the way, when we was leaving the house today, got out in the car and we were talking about the weather, and my wife said, well, they said we might get a little hail. And I said, well, I sure hope we don't. Because, you know, you can get a lot of damage on your roof, on your house, on your cars. You know, and my car's just set out. I ain't got no garage or no carport or nothing to cover them up. And I didn't want nothing getting damaged. But think about this. That's just little bitty hell. We've had some of it, you know, ice balls about like that big. And boy, they can really do some damage. You've seen them. But think about them being 100 pounds apiece. I don't want to be here during that time. No, sir. Brother Ram said people go insane, and in their minds they'll see, he said they'll see things like ants as big as trees and so on. I don't want to be here during that. I don't want that feeling. It drops seemingly down into your stomach. It makes you sick. Feel sick because something didn't go right. I don't want that feeling. Look around and somebody will call up. You'll call up and wonder maybe where's mom and dad or where's brother so-and-so. Maybe try to call them. Friends, gone. Now, I know there's a space of time when the dead in Christ rise, and Brother Branham says we'll be here during that time a little while before we're caught up. But we're going to be changed. Those that are in the bride, they'll be changed, have a new glorified body. I don't know. They say that when the dead rose in the resurrection of Christ, they said there was many of the Old Testament saints spotted in the streets of Jerusalem. Maybe there'll be people in the world that'll spot some of those that's resurrected. But you know how it is. People will shake that off even if they saw them. Oh, well, that's just somebody that looked like them. I don't know really how all that's going to be. I believe it's going to be. And I know there's a time when people who've been under the sound of the voice of God and know there's supposed to be a rapture, there's going to be a time if they don't go in it that they're going to wonder what happened. What happened? And they'll try to call up this one or that one. There won't be nobody. But the world will go into that tribulation. I'll tell you something. I don't like to get on political things when I'm in this pulpit, especially because we go out on the internet. But I'll just say this. I got to see that debate last night. And I'll tell you what, both of them scare me. I'm as scared as one as I am the other. I think they're both crazy. Brother Branham said back in the day when they gave women the vote, and he said they voted in John F. Kennedy. He said they voted in the wrong man. I don't think there's a right one in this one. I think they're both wrong. But one of them is going to get it. And friends, I'm telling you what I look for is I look for that we are, I'm not putting no date on anything, but I'm saying this, each one that goes in there seems like they take this nation in a direction that's heading straight for the tribulation. Administration we got in there now has got to where You already got the Americans turning their backs on Israel. Now, I think we're going to get about 4 more years of the same. I think it'll get worse. I think it's going to get to a place where the U.S. completely denounces Israel, takes their help, support, and turns their back on Israel. I believe that. And I'll tell you what, that's still God's nation. Israel's still God's nation. And anyone that does harm to them, they're going to answer for it. They're still God's people. And I look and I see these things, what's going on in the political world and the stances that they take and the things they talk about and the things especially when they get to talking about the foreign affairs and how to deal with Russia and things like that. And I look at it and I say, we're getting close. We're getting real close. There ain't much time left. And in our day, Elijah's already came. There's 5 comings of Elijah. We've already witnessed the fourth coming of Elijah. It's already came, already been took off the scene. Brother Ram says in one place, said immediately after this fourth Elijah took off the scene, said then the tribulation period is going to set in. Now he says it that way. But you look at the way God does things and how God looks at it. To God, 30 years could be immediately thereafter in God's time. You know, 40, 50 years could be in God's time immediately thereafter. But we know that the cup of iniquity has to be full. We know that everything has to be set in place so that when the bride goes up, the tribulation period sets in. And there's what's going on in the political world today is setting the stage for that great tribulation time. And you watch what's going on with Rome. And Rome has got a new pope that's different than any pope they've ever had before. This pope, he's even went against some of their own doctrines. This pope says God's love is big enough to reach out and take in all the, I don't remember what they call it, LBJ something or LBT or something. I don't know what it's called. Take in all the homosexuals, take in all the gays, transsexuals, and whatever else they call them. God's love is big enough. That's what the pope said. I heard last night, they asked them, said, if you want to see the debate, all you got to do is go on YouTube. Okay, it's there. And they said, asked a question about the who they were going to appoint for the Supreme Court justices that fill those vacancies. What types are they looking for? One of the candidates said that what they were going to be looking for was judges that would respect the I wish I could remember what they call that, LB something or other, lesbian, LG, huh? LGBT. That community is what you called them, that community. So if that one gets in, then that's the way the Supreme Court's going to go. They asked a question. Said, is the Constitution supposed to be interpreted just the way that the forefathers had wrote it at that time? Or is it a living document that shall be interpreted according to the times that it's in now? And one of the candidates, same one that said wanted justices in there to be to LGBT community for them, said that they believed that it was a living document that should be interpreted according to times and things and situations, what's going on now. Brother, America's gone. If the prophet was saying that when he was here, and now we look around and we see how it is now, it's gone. The founding fathers came here was to escape from England and being bound under their religious dogmas. And it's because of that that we have the liberties and freedoms to worship the way we do today. But see, they want to wipe all that away. I looked in the message one place, Brother Branham's talking this. He said, look at how many Arabs you see, more and more Arabs in the United States. That was back then. Now, we don't necessarily call them Arabs today. What we look at is Muslims. And they say, well, not all Muslims are terrorists, but every one of them believe a terrorist doctrine. It's a violent, violent doctrine and book and belief and religion. And yet, we're opening our borders to take in more and more and more and more of them. Look where it's going. It's getting worse. Friends, it's getting worse. But sometimes I think people get kind of lulled to sleep a little bit because, you know, you go about your daily tasks and the things you got to do. And of course, Walmart's still Walmart and Kroger's is still Kroger's. And you know, and you see what I'm saying? And you go about those things and you can still go buy a car and you can still go sell your house or buy a house and all these things, you know, and you can conduct your business and you can go to work and you can get a paycheck and all these things. And I think going through these things, you know, and it seems like to me, the older you get, the faster the days go by. And I remember when I was a kid, a day seemed to last forever. And I didn't know how many things we get together with other kids, how many things we could play in one day. Now you go to do your task and you turn around and say, man, where'd the time go? I ain't got enough time to get all this done. And we get so burdened with those things, and I think sometimes we get a little bit lulled with it to where our mind isn't thinking about where we're at. I'm not talking about going off, taking up the world or beginning to sin or nothing like that. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about that our minds get to where they're not so much on Christ, the Word. When's the last time you really got down and prayed? When's the last time you ever heard a message from the prophet? When's the last time you read your Bible? See, I'm not saying these things to condemn you. I'm showing you what I'm talking about. Is we get so caught up in these things and it makes us kind of sluggish. But we need to realize that, look, friends, no matter what's going on, we should always have time for prayer. No matter what's going on, we should always have time for the Word. No matter what's going on, we should always have time to give to the Lord. the daily grind and tasks, that's, they'll get you lulled into sleep. You'll just be living, getting up one day and going to bed to get up the next day to go to work, to go to bed to get up the next day to go to work, and then you got this to do around the house and you got that to do, and hey, I'm going to tell you something, friends. Some of it, I know we like clean houses and all that, but you know what? You ain't going to miss the rapture because your house got a little messy. Brother Branham actually said in one place, he said, it's all right to miss a day of work every now and then, but don't miss church. Isn't that something? Some people just catch that thing and he gave him permission to miss work a day or two every now and then. Young people, I want you to think, you don't want to ever come here and everybody's gone. I know we got some little bitty babies. I ain't talking to them. They're all in God's plan and hands. But I'm talking to all the adults and all the, you know, those that are of age, of accountability. Brother Bam says this, he said, across the nation will come those who are dead in Christ will rise first. The rapture will take place. The church will be taken home. And then a tribulation will set in. Oh my, we don't want to be here during that time. I don't want to be here in the tribulation. God forbid that any of us would ever be here during that time. Because he that's filthy is filthy still, and he that's holy is holy still, and he that's righteous is righteous still. He said, there's the Lamb had come forth with his book of redemption and the bride had been taken out. And those who turned it down has to go through the tribulation period. Both Jew and Gentile, what a tribulation. What a time of tribulation. I don't want that. Now, in Revelations chapter 7, it talks about, just turn there with me. We'll read this. I just wanted to clear this part up. Revelation chapter 7, verse 13. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these that which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Now notice here, it doesn't say the great tribulation. It says out of great tribulation. Paul even talks about going through tribulations. Came out of great tribulation, have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on a throne shall dwell with them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Brother Ram said, that is the bride. They've washed their robes white, clean in the blood of the Lamb. And in the notice, he said, it doesn't say that they came through the great tribulation, but they came out of great tribulation. They came out. The bride goes up before the great tribulation sets in. But I'll tell you what, I just can't get over. I've watched, listen to these debates, let's sign on to YouTube or whatever and pick up these debates and listen to them. And I tell you what, they scare me to death. I think it's bad either way. Now I'm not scared for my life. But it just, watching it really stirs something up in me. And I look at it and I know that there can come a time where before the rapture takes place, that this bride can come under great persecution. And I see who I think's gonna, just in my opinion, I tell you all the time I don't preach my opinion, but I'm not preaching, I'm just telling you something here. And this ain't about the word, this is about this election. And it's any man's opinion or guess what it is, but the one it looks like to me that it's gonna wind up winning this thing, friends, they ain't got no kindness toward the Christian way of life. No. They got nothing for it. You know what? We'd be called haters. And to speak something against that gay community or whatever, it'd be called a hate crime. That's where we're heading. Better get in while there's still time, while there's still room in this Gentile bride. You know what the song says? Better get in. Think about these things. Especially young people, think about these things. It's time to trim our lamps and get ready. The horrors. I heard somebody say to me one time, they was supposed to be a message believer, told me, said, well, if I don't make it in the rapture, I'll make it through the tribulation. Don't you count on it. I think anybody can say that, they'd be one of the first ones to say, yes, I'll take the mark. Yes, I'll side with you. I'll denounce that prophet and those people. If that's what it takes to save my life, my skin. I'll tell you what, it is a natural thing within man to strive for life. It's something that's just within us. And, you know, even when a person's passing, the breath, the laboring gets harder and the beats of the heart begin to slow down. And they're laboring to stay alive. There's something in man, in all of us, that way. We want to preserve this skin. But I tell you what, I want mine burned off if that's what it takes. I want my hide tanned by God if that's what it takes. Amen. I don't, like I've said many times, I don't want to own one thing that I can't leave behind. I don't want to get caught up in one thing that I become so caught up in that it becomes my God. Hallelujah. I want to be ready to go, don't you? Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time to be here tonight. Ask, dear God, that you'll bless your people, Lord. You know their needs. Lord, I pray, God, that may the young people, maybe different ones that would hear this message when they would sign on, Lord, it would get them to think, Lord. Lord, really take inventory of their lives, God. Lord God, it ain't time to play church. It's time to get right. It's time to have our lamps trimmed. There ain't time no more playing around and things, Lord. Hallelujah. Bless your people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I thought you were already behind me. Brother Nate comes. I didn't think he was going to be here tonight. He had something that was on his schedule, and then it got changed, and here I was asking Brother Phil to lead the songs tonight, and all of a sudden Nate comes walking around the corner, and I said, what are you doing here?
Sing Jesus Draw Me Closer.
Jesus Draw Me Closer.
Dismiss this time live, Brother Phil, to dismiss us.